this morning. Is that all right? Come on, I said we can have church this morning. Come on.
Like this. Here we go. One, two. One, two. One, two, three, four.
Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name.
Good morning. It's good to see everybody that's here this morning. Want to welcome those who are on our social media platforms. Be sure to heart, to like, to follow, to share there, make comments. Welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming. If you need that number, please be sure to call the church office. We'll be glad to give that to you. If you're at home and you have access to the church website, to the internet, we encourage you to go there to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you'll be able to download the worship bulletin for today, the children's worship bulletins, as well as the prayer list. So I encourage you to take the time to get those things downloaded. You can share those links with others also. If you're a guest that is here with us today, we want to make sure that you pick up one of the gift bags that are on the sides of the stage at the doors as you leave. If you brought somebody with you this morning, be sure that they get one. And then don't forget the children's worship bulletins are in the window to my right, and we'll be dismissing in a little while for children's worship. The gift bags have some things in it that share some information about our church, as well as some gifts that we wanted to give to you so you could, just to say thank you for being here with us this morning. So Brother Allen, if you'll come and lead us in our first hymn. As he comes to do that, I'm going to ask our deacons if you'll begin to make your way forward for the Lord's Supper.
And turn in your hymnals to 368 here at your table, Lord. View the screen.
Supper, I want to share with you some scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26 that says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Paul says, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." Everyone, he says, ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. And so we want to give you a moment of time to spend in prayer with the Lord, examining your hearts. And I've asked Paco Prince if he would to lead us in this time of prayer.
Yes, Lord.
As you have your cup, if you'll pull the clear plastic piece off the top, that will give you access to the piece of bread there. It says, therefore, I have received from the Lord what I also passed unto you, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11. He said, the Lord Jesus, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. So I'm going to ask Brother Jonathan, if he will, to bless the partaking of the bread. Yes. And so as he took this bread and gave thanks and broke it, he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then if you'll peel back the foil piece, that will expose the cup for you to partake of the cup. The cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins. And so I've asked, as we read the scripture here, it says he took the cup in the same way after the supper and blessed the cup. And so, Brother Johnny, would you lead us in a prayer for the partaking of the cup? Amen. Paul said that same way after he took the cup and blessed it, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. That evening, as they left the upper room, they made their way to the garden and they sang a hymn. Brother Allen, if you'll come and lead us in Blessed Be the Tie. Would you stand as we sing?
I'll let you stay seated on this one. If you'll turn with your hymnals to 483, and we'll sing Footsteps of Jesus. Nope, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm way ahead of myself. 569, Make Me a Blessing.
Thank you.
Amen. It's at this time that we come to our missionary moment of the week. You'll find our missionary of the week there in your bulletin, Sarah Mitchell. It just says the deaf people. But if you read her story, you'll find out that she is ministering to the deaf peoples in Bangkok, Thailand. And you can read her story there. But just want to encourage you to pray that God would continue to speak to the deaf and to remind them that they are not alone in Christ Jesus. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the blessing of our missionaries who have answered the call. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would speak into their hearts and into their lives to let them know, Lord, that you love them, you care for them, you are providing for them. You have your arms wrapped around them. Father, we pray that you will bless them in a special way, wherever they may be serving. We pray especially for Susan Mitchell, Lord, as she's serving in Bangkok, Thailand. Lord, that you would use her in a great and mighty way to reach the deaf peoples there who need to hear the gospel message also. So, Father, I pray they would hear it, they would see it, they would respond to it, they would trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Bless all of our missionaries. Keep them all safe in your arms. Bless, Lord, our tithes and our offerings, that it will continue to grow in your church, continue to go forth in the kingdom work that you've called us to. And, Lord, we just ask your blessings on our service this morning in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. We're going to ask our children's leaders and our children to go ahead and begin making their way to come forward as I'm sharing some of these announcements with you to finish up with. But we want to remind you that you can do your online giving on our church website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. So if you want to do that online, you can do that. It's an easy, secure platform that you can do that on. You could do that in person here also with the offering envelopes that are in front of you in the pew, and then you can place those in the offering plates that are here at the stage or at the doors as you leave. Let me just say a couple of other quick things to remind you about. Next Sunday, we will be having a baby child dedication service in the 7.5, almost, well, coming up on 8 years in the end of October that I've been here. We've not had one of those. So even if you don't have a baby, but maybe you wanted to dedicate your child, we want to encourage you to participate in that service next Sunday. And to do that, we ask that you would call the church office this week sometime, speak to Miss Amy and get your name down so that we can make sure we have enough resources for next Sunday for that. It's a baby child dedication service. So not just babies, but children also. And then don't forget that right after the service, at the end of the service, our ushers will be at the doors with the offering plates to collect our benevolence offering that goes to help those who are in need. We do that every time we have the Lord's Supper, and they'll be collecting that, the deacons will, at the door. So I'm going to ask our children's leaders and workers if they'll go ahead and make their way and come, and I think we've actually got a video first that we're going to watch, right? So let's watch the video.
Right. would have it, today is June 13th.
Yeah.
Not just an ordinary day at Lee University.
Yeah.
Should you win today, the world will know that you will not go quiet at the end of the night. You will not go down without a fight.
Yeah.
You're going to live on.
Yeah.
You're going to survive.
Yeah.
Today we celebrate OMC Day.
Obviously, two mornings there, I didn't have my coffee in time or something. For those of you that do not know me, my name is Stanley Smith, and I had the privilege of going to Center Kid Camp with Miss Amanda Monroe and Miss Leah Prince and 11 extraordinary students. They were well behaved, they were genuine, and we're working on making them organized, so 2 out of 3 is not too bad. I'd like to thank this church for being excellent supporters of not just our children's department ministry, but our youth group ministry. A lot of these kids that went to camp, you do not know what amber may turn into a spark, may turn into a flame, because they are the next generation that will carry the message of our Lord Jesus Christ, His mercy and grace forward. So I want to personally thank you for supporting us and allowing us to go and have an extraordinary time at Center Kid. You saw a lot of the fun activities we did. My favorite part of Center Kid is there's a church courtyard you saw there. When our kids would go to that church courtyard for quiet time, they were very serious. They did their Bible lesson, they read their Bible, they spread out, and they prayed. When they were at that quiet time, they would have made each one of you very, very proud. They represented our church and our Lord very well. And I'm going to be followed by Miss Kylie. Miss Kylie, come on up.
My name is Kylie Prince. This was my first time going to camp. I had so much fun, and I learned about God's great gifts. My favorite thing was worship and singing. Thank you, my church family, for supporting me to be able to go to camp.
Hi, my name is Levi. This year I attended Center Kid Camp. This was my fourth year going to camp. I had so much fun at tracks, OMC, Bible study, recreation, and worship rally. Thank you so much for all of your donations that I could go to camp this year.
And I'm going to read a note from Libby Ferris. She's not able to be here today, but she handwrote a note. It says, "Hi, my name is Libby Ferris. Thank you for supporting me and my friends so we could go to church camp. I learned that God gives great gifts. If you did not know, it was my first time and it was fun. I want to go back. Thank you, leaders, for bringing me and my friends. My favorite thing was alone time with God. Libby."
Once again, we had 3 adults, 11 students go. We want to thank you for your support, and not only did we have an extraordinary time, but our students got into the Word and studied the Gospel. So thank you again.
Amen. We want to praise the Lord for what He's doing in our children's ministry, and especially what God did through their lives and going to camp. Sometimes we put this at the very end of our service, but I wanted this morning to make this a part of more of the central part of the service. You'll find out why a little bit later in the sermon that I have to share with you. But what a great thing God is doing. We thank God for the leaders that we have in our children's ministry. Be in prayer for the youth. They're going to be going next month on theirs, and we'll be sharing again about theirs. But just praise the Lord for what God is doing in our children's ministry and through all those children and their faithfulness to the Lord. So, Brother Allen, if you'll come and lead us again.
Yeah, just remain seated. Turn to your hymnals to number 438, Footsteps of Jesus. 483, sorry.
Thank you.
On this last hymn, if you will stand with us. Mike called me this morning or yesterday afternoon and said he was a little bit under the weather, so here I am. we will be singing, let's see, "O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee," 279. Did I get that one right? Yeah, this time. Children's Church meets over by the piano.
Thank you so much, Brother Allen, for filling in for Brother Mike. If you would, take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 7, down through verse 16. We're going to be looking at this passage this morning, but it's going to be actually a couple of times that we're going to look at this passage in the sermon, so we won't get through everything that's in these verses, but Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through verse 16. If you would, let's stand as we read God's word in honor of his word. We're going to begin with verse 7, and then we're going to skip over to verse 11 through verse 12. So verse 7 begins and says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Then if you will, look at verse 11 and verse 12. "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints of the work for the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the blessing of your word this morning. Lord, we pray that we would be the church that you would have us to be, that we would do all we should be doing as the church that you would have us to do. Father, I pray for your blessings upon your word, that it will strengthen those and encourage those who are believers. Lord, that it'll bring us under conviction if we are not being faithful with the gifts that you've given to us. Lord, I pray also that it will be a blessing to those who may not know Christ as their Lord and Savior today. Father, I pray this message will speak truth into their hearts for them to come by faith to Christ. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to be present here this morning, working in the hearts and lives of every person who is listening, working in the heart and life of my own self as I deliver your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated.
So as I said, we're going to be looking and spending two different sermons looking at this text. Today, we're going to be asking this question. I entitled my message this morning, Why We Minister, in your bulletins. Really, it's more why the saints minister to the body. And we've already discussed that before, that if you're here this morning and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible declares you a saint. You don't declare yourself that. I'm not saying you're a saint. Your wife isn't saying you're a saint because she knows you. You know yourself. But God knows you even better. And because of your relationship to Him, you are considered a saint. So we're going to be looking at why the saints minister to the body. Why do the saints minister to the body of Christ? The next time, we'll ask the question, how do the saints minister to the body of Christ? Another way to say it would be this, that today we're going to ask about the aim or the goal of every member serving in the body. The next time, which actually is going to be in a couple of months because we're going to stray off a little bit from Ephesians for a little bit, we're going to ask about the ways and the means that members are to minister to the body. But first we need to ask and to answer a question that is underlying all of these verses that we're going to be looking at this morning in verse 7 down through verse 16. And here's the question. Is every member to minister to the body of Christ? Is every member to minister to the body of Christ? And I want to make the assumption from the text here that the answer, as we're going to see, is found in verse 7 and verse 11 through verse 12, is that we are to be ministering. Every person is, who's a believer, is to be ministering to the body of Christ. We make that assumption from this text. The answer is found in verse 7 there, where verse 7, Paul talked about how each individual Christian is gifted by Christ with various measures of grace. And then in verse 11 through verse 12, he talks about how the church is gifted by Christ with certain ministering people who equip the saints to minister to the body. And I don't think that list is an exhaustive list, because I think there are many ways that we can minister in the body that fulfill some of these functions of these particular ministry positions that he mentions here. But first I want you to see this, because Paul wants to make it very clear to us that the focus is not on the gifts or the offices. The focus is on Christ. We are gifted by Christ. Think about that as you read verse 7 again. Verse 7 says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Every believer, everyone who is here this morning or watching online, who's ever trusted by faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, you don't get an out this morning because you're not a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or a pastor or a music leader or singing in the choir or some other kind of leader. Every single one of us as believers have been gifted by Christ with a different measure of God's graces. Every believer is uniquely gifted, which means this, that you're not an accident in the body of Christ. Now, you may be wondering, what is my part? You may not have figured out yet, what is God's will for me? How does He want me to serve in His kingdom work? But when you received grace, when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then you received His graces, it was because Christ gave it in a measure that is suited for His will in you and for the body. He knows everything about you. He knows your limitations. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. And He has gifted you uniquely to be the person He has called you to be. So don't ever think, well, I don't know how I could do that. I don't know how I could do this, or whatever the Lord may show you that this is what His will is for you to do. He has gifted you with a measure that is suited for His will in you and for the body.
That lays the foundation for every believer being a minister to the body when it comes to verse 11 through verse 12, and he lists all those different particular functions there, those particular offices. So verse 7 tells us that every one of us is given grace, not according to the measure of our own worth, not because you deserve it, not because of any merit you have, but according to the measure that Christ decided to give. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says almost the same thing. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So our different giftedness is because of the sovereign grace of God through the will of Christ, who is the head. And so know this, the head, not the body, knows what's best. The head knows what's best. Now understand, the head is not the preacher. The head is Christ. Christ knows what is best, and that's why he gives the gifts. Notice secondly about verse 7 and down through verse 11 and verse 12 is that the gifts of Christ to the church. Notice the gifts of Christ to the church. So when you come down then, after having read and understood verse 7, when you come to verse 11 and verse 12, Paul makes the point to explicitly say here how every believer is to be in the ministry. Now, we said before, it's not an exhaustive list. So after he describes how Jesus rose from the dead, how he ascended to heaven victoriously, ready to give gifts to men in verse 8 through verse 10, which we'll look at in just a moment, then Paul comes to this in verse 11 and says, here's the gifts that I'm giving to you. Here's some of the gifts that I'm giving to you. Now, this is different from verse 7 because there the point was is that every believer is gifted by Christ with a variety of grace. Here the point is that the church is gifted by Christ with people in a variety of offices. That's what verse 11 is listing there. And so these gifts to the church, these people are charged with equipping the saints, that is, those who are the set apart believers. It's also worth noting, because sometimes we look at the different passages that talk about gifts. It's important to notice that the word for gifts here in the Greek is the word doma, and it's only used three other times in the scriptures, and it many times refers to physical, tangible objects or individuals, whereas the word translated gifts in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 is the Greek word charisma. It refers to the spiritual gifts of God's grace to fulfill the purpose of the ministry that he's called each one of us to. So Paul even makes some distinctions himself. If you look at the passages in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4 through verse 6, when he says, now there are varieties of gifts, varieties of charisma, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. He goes on to say a little bit later in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27 to 31, he says, now you are the body of Christ. That sounds like what Paul is teaching us here in the book of Ephesians. He says, and each one of you is to be a part of it. He didn't say that there's anybody who gets an exception. Every believer is a part of the body. Hold on to that thought because we're going to come back to it at the end of this passage we're looking at here. He says, and God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts, charisma of healing, of helping, of guidance, of different kinds of tongues. He says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts, charisma of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, charisma again, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. And then do you know what he does after chapter 12? He goes into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And what is that chapter? That's the great chapter of love. And he says that's the greatest gift that every one of us as believers ought to be pursuing after, is to have love in our hearts. So notice first of all here that we see that every member is to be a minister to the body. Again, we want to come back to that emphasis of the one who gives the gifts, because that's what he talks about in verse 8 down through verse 10. So if you would, let's read verse 8 down through verse 10. Therefore, he says, so and you always ask if the word therefore is therefore, you ask what's it there for? It's replying to the thing that he just said before. So therefore, because you've been given a grace, you've been given grace to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift, therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. That's the doma word instead of the charisma word. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, and that he might fill all things. Now, it's important for us to realize here, Paul is quoting a passage from Psalm 68, verse 18. I'd encourage you to go back and to read that passage, because in these verses here, Paul is reminding us that these gifts that we have been given, whether they're tangible, like the apostles, prophets, teachers, that kind of list that he gives here, or whether it's the charisma gifts that he gives in Romans and Corinthians, in either case, all of those gifts came from God, came from Christ, and they have come at the greatest possible price. Think about that for just a moment. Because the imagery he gives us here is that Christ went to war against our enemies of sin and death, and he won the victory through his death on the cross for us. He had to die and to descend into the lower parts, experiencing the punishment for our sin, so that we could receive the greatest of gifts. So that means then the gifts that God has given to you through Christ Jesus, don't ever count those as less than what they should be. They were paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Because think about it, if he had not died, we could not be saved. And if we could not be saved, we could not be gifted, given gifts, so spiritual gifts. There, and because we wouldn't have received any spiritual gifts, there would be no purpose for our lives. There would be no significance to life, not beyond the short few years that we live on this earth. All we would have to look forward to, if we didn't have salvation, if we didn't have the purpose from the gifts that he's given to us from the will of God, all we would have to look forward to would be death. But Jesus has died and rose again, showing us that he alone has the power to save us and to gift us. Final thing to note here at this point is that every believer's gift, as we said a while ago, alluded to at least a while ago, is Christ-centered. Think about that. Notice that it is he who gave. It's him alone who gives gifts to people. In other words, we can't work it up ourselves. You can't work up any gift that he gives of yourself. We can't give gifts to other people. Only Christ possesses these gifts to give them to us. So the gifts he has given to you or given to me, they're not for us, they're for him. Which leads us to our third point, the purpose of the gifts. So if it's not for me, what is it for? It's for edifying and glorifying the name of Jesus Christ. Every gift that Christ has given us has a threefold purpose. First, there's an immediate purpose. And we see that in verse 12. If you would look at verse 12, it says to equip, he's given all these gifts. We mentioned verse 10 and verse 11 already, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So the immediate purpose is for equipping believers to do the work of the ministry. He's saying, as he just got through listing those office bearers there in the church, those are not to be the only ones who do the work of the ministry. In fact, leaders, whether it's the pastor or youth minister or deacon or Sunday school teacher or vacation Bible school director or any other kind of leader, worship leader, a leader of any kind, and don't think, well, that lets me off. I'm not a leader. You're a leader in your family. You're even a young person, you're to be a leader to others in your peer group. As a leader, your primary task is to be an equipper, a person who makes disciples and prepares others to serve Christ. That's your purpose. That's why He's given us the gifts that He's given us. And so the very purpose of the equipping of the believers is so that the body of Christ, the church, may be built up. So in other words, it's not just for your edification. It's not just for building up you. You're a part of the body, but it's for building up the whole of the body. That means that the church cannot be built without the members themselves doing the work of the ministry. And that all believers within a church, no exceptions, all believers within the church ought to be involved in the work of the ministry. Now, that may mean that you're in a different variety of ministries, and that's great because God has equipped every one of us in different ways to minister. And so think about it. If the work of the ministry were left up to, say, the staff or left up to the deacons or left up to the Sunday school teachers, the task would never get done because there are too few. That's why every believer must be equipped to reach the lost and to minister to the needs of the world that are suffering under the weight of their sin in death. There's the immediate purpose there. But there's also an eternal purpose. Notice verse 13. Verse 13 says, until, so you're to do this and keep doing this, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's the eternal purpose for those leaders that he writes about here. One eternal purpose is to bring about a perfect unity, he says, amongst God's people. Now, I don't know about you, but every church you look at, there seems to not be a total unity within churches. There's not unity between different Christian denominations, evangelical denominations. So to bring peace and reconciliation, to lead people into oneness of spirit, to lead them out of divisiveness and murmuring and grumbling and griping, that is what he's talking about there, about bringing a perfect unity amongst God's people. That means that every believer ought to be striving to make sure that I'm not a part of that, that you're not a part of that, and that others around you are not a part of divisiveness and murmuring and grumbling and griping. Another eternal purpose is that they're to bring about the knowledge of the Son of God. Because as you bring about the knowledge of the Son of God, that's sharing the gospel, that's sharing the good news that God loves you, God sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for your sins so that you could be saved, so that you could have eternal life with Him forever. And then you're to be growing in that walk with Him. And so you're to be maturing. We don't always want to stay as babes in Christ, always feeding on the milk of the Word. And so we need to be, as James 1 verse 4 says, that we're to be helping others to reach a spiritual maturity where they are spiritually mature, complete, and lacking nothing. If you ever think you've arrived, guess what? You haven't. There's still a long ways to go. So there's an eternal purpose. There's an immediate purpose. But notice also there's a personal purpose. There's a personal purpose for these gifts, and that's seen in verse 14. So verse 14 says, so that we may no longer be children. That's what he was referring to just a moment ago, that we ought to be spiritually mature, complete, lacking nothing, so that we would not be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of false messages that are out there in this world that profess to be Christian that are not. How do you know? Because it's just like a banker who studies to learn a counterfeit. You don't study all the different counterfeits that are out there. You study the genuine articles so that when you see a counterfeit, you think, whoa, something's different about this. I need to look at this more closely to see. And so that's the same thing we need to do. We need to be so in the Word of God, so growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ, that when we see something or hear something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, our antennas go off. And we're like, wait a second, I don't think the Bible said that. And then you get back into the Bible to make sure. It may be something you missed in the Word of God, but it more than likely is something that is not in the Word of God, that has come from man's cunning devices here, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. And so that's what he's talking about in verse 15, so that we would not be led astray by false teaching. Verse 15, he also says, here's another personal purpose, so that we would grow up in all things in Christ. So he says in verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And so we are to be growing up in all things in Christ Jesus. And so how do we do that? We get in his word, we learn his word, we speak his word, we proclaim the truth. We hear so much of the false lies in our world, we need to know what the truth is. And then finally, verse 16, he said, here's the final personal purpose, is so that each one of us would do our part in building up the church. He says, when you do all that, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We're to be doing our part to build up the church. Because he says every believer in the church is like every joint that's in our bodies. We're to supply something to the body of Christ. And every part is significant. Your part might be just making some phone calls. Your part might be just writing some cards. But every single part is important. So there's an immediate purpose, there's an eternal purpose, there's a personal purpose, but I want you to see the ultimate purpose. Go back to verse 13. At the end of verse 13, as he's already said at the beginning there, he said, until we all attain to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So let me ask you that question I asked at the very beginning. Why should every believer be contributing their part, using that gift, using the gifts that God has enabled them with, giving all that they are and all that they have to get the job done? Because there is so much at stake. Understand this, there is an eternal weight of responsibility that rests upon every single one of us who are here this morning as believers. And every one of us is responsible for reaching people with the gospel of Christ and building them up, discipling them in God's word. So think about what you heard just a while ago when the kids came up here and shared, and our children's leaders came up in here and shared. When you hear what these children and these leaders have shared this morning about the impact that Kids Camp has made upon their lives, why should every believer be contributing their part to using the gifts? That's why. When you look around as children and their families, the Vacation Bible School has reached and changed lives. We had several who made decisions that we're still following up with. That's why. But when you see what God is wanting to do in the lives of our youth and in the ministry that our church has to them, the hunger and the thirst that God is giving for them, that's why we're all to be doing our part in the body of Christ. When you look back over the years and see all the kids and the families that our Awana program has touched, our CDC has ministered to, that's why. When you look at the ministry on Fridays that we do out here, this parking lot is packed with vehicles. And we open our ministry center over there for water, for the restrooms. We talk to people. We share the gospel with them. And when we do that, we share and we minister to those people who are here to get some food from a church down the street that we're partnering with. That's why. Why are we to be using the gifts God has given us? Well, when you look at our senior adult ministry and the ministry that has grown to them through our Primetimers ministry, that's why. Think about this. When you look at the world around us and you see so many people who are lost and discouraged and depressed without hope because they don't know Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And what we know is if they never trust in Him, they will spend an eternity in hell if no one tells them. That's why we're to be using our gifts to minister to the body. Why should every believer be contributing their part by using the gifts that God has enabled them with, giving all that they are and all that they have to get the job done? Here's why. Because some people will never be reached and ministered to if a single one of us comes up short. And that's why every believer is gifted by Jesus Christ. Isn't that what he said in verse 16? Read that again. From whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So why all this ministry? What's the goal? What are we supposed to be doing here at Highland? What is it to be the church? What is it to do, church? Why do the saints minister to the body? It's because the body needs a lot of work done on it. That's why Paul has shared with us all of this. It helps us, and it will help us from being discouraged when we realize just how imperfect the church is. So the aim of our ministry, the aim of your ministry with your grace and your gift that Christ has given to you, it is to become a body of Christ that is in unified in faith, unified in knowledge, and that grows more and more into the kind of unified person that Christ is. And that starts with people becoming believers and receiving God's grace according to the measure of Christ's gift, as verse 7 said. And then the church being built up and growing by saints, using their gifts that they've been given for the building up of the body of Christ, the church, so that verse 16 is fulfilled, that the body grows so that it builds itself up in love. So the aim of the ministry is not just that individuals would be built up, but that the body of Christ, that this body of believers would take on a personality like Christ, that we would take on the strength like Christ, that we would take on a love like Christ, that we would have a spirit like Christ. Because all too often, the things we do, our focus of our ministry is on ourselves. What's in it for me? What do I get out of this? But ultimately, Paul tells us here that it's not about you and it's not about me. It's not about what I want and it's not about what you want. It's all about Jesus Christ, who gifts us, who enables us, and who completes us. The ministry of the church is to be all about Jesus. That's why. So I challenge you this morning. Meditate on this passage. Pray over this passage. Long over it. And seek to do your part with all that you have and all that you are till you draw your last dying breath, that you would give glory to Christ in everything you do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. Lord, there are so many times that it seems like we struggle as churches. Lord, our focus tends to be on ourselves, and as believers, we get caught up in the things of this world and the ways of this world, and we forget that it's not about me, and it's not about another person. It's all about you. Lord, am I bringing glory to you in my life? Am I doing everything I should be doing? Am I using the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the spiritual giftedness, the ministry maybe even that you've called me to? Am I using what you've gifted me with, Lord, the grace that you've gifted me, to bring glory to the name of Christ? Father, I pray that's what we would do this morning. Lord, if we've not been doing that, I pray, God, that we would come in full repentance, asking God for you to forgive us for our unfaithfulness. Lord, if we don't even know what it is we're supposed to be doing, then Lord, I pray that you would help us to get back into your word, to begin to seek your face, listen to your voice, listen, Lord, to the things you're speaking to us. Get other Christians around us who are pouring into our lives who can help us to discern what it is and how it is you've gifted us to be used in your kingdom work. And then once we discover that, Lord, to be faithful to the giftedness you've given us. Father, I pray that you would speak into the hearts of those who are here this morning who may not know Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Lord, I invite, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to their hearts to come to faith in Christ this morning, to trust in what he did for them on the cross. Lord, that he died on the cross for their sin where they should have died. And Lord, he took on the weight of that suffering of their sin that they should have had. And he made a way where there seemed to be no way. He has given us a gift of eternal life. And so, Father, I pray there would be those who would be here this morning or watching online who would receive that eternal gift of salvation. Others, Lord, who need to receive the gifts that you're giving to them, the wisdom and understanding to know your will, what you have gifted them to serve in the body of Christ and to be faithful in doing that. Father, I pray that you would lead others to come this morning who are believers. And Father, I pray they would turn to you. Lord, have your way and your will in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to invite you to come forward this morning. Any decision that you may have made, whether it's for salvation or our church membership or just simply to pray at the altar as we sing our hymn of invitation number 318. Would you stand this morning and come? Brother Allen. Moment, and Brother Mark's going to come to share our announcements.
Good morning, everyone. We have just a couple of announcements as we close, and Pastor Matt, if you would like to go ahead.
In your bulletins, you notice it said 3 o'clock for Share Sunday, but that's at 3:30. And so if you are interested in going with us to share the gospel, which Pastor just preached. That is our job. And so meet here at the church at 3:30 for a time of prayer, and then about 4 o'clock we will go to the mall and hand out tracts, ask people how we could pray for them and share Jesus. So I know it's going to be hot, but hell's hotter, and yes, I went there. So, but hey, this is what we're called to do as believers. We are called to go and share the gospel, despite what the weather is outside. I think you can make it an hour. We got plenty of water, but hey, we praying about it. If you're nervous, that's okay. We're here to help and encourage you along the way. So please consider that. That is not just for teenagers. That is for all adults of all ages. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Let's be aware of the needs of those in our church that are on the prayer list, which is available out in the hallway there. One in particular that we want to remember, we want to be in prayer with Mike and Reba for their daughter, Bethany. We'll be having a MRI on the 2nd of July to diagnose some issues that she's having. And let's be very much in prayer. The doctors will have wisdom, and that the great physician will be at work during this time in the life of Bethany and Jacob and the family. Also, Ms. Rima asked us to announce if you have one of the baby bottles you've been stuffing your spare $100 bills into, and those are due back, even if they don't have a $100 bill in them. Whatever the Lord has blessed you with to share, those are due back. Just bring those in and leave them with Amy or Pastor Jim or with Ms. Rima too. And then again, Pastor Jim asked us to remind about the benevolence offering that will follow as we exit the doors. As we close in prayer, I'd like to share a verse from Psalm 68. And this comes from the verse that is immediately following the verse that Pastor Jim shared, verse 18. And this is verse 19, and this gives us some extra insight, I think, into the exercise and the responsibility that we share as brothers and sisters. And so let's close with this prayer as I read from Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits and bears our burdens, the God of our salvation. Amen.